Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Listener supported.
Here for you every day.
Welcome to the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Welcome to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So happy to be with you. And we want to start off this hour, as we do every hour during our Pledge Drive week, with the Memorare, not only praying for an end to abortion in the United States and around the world, but also for the success of this Pledge Drive, which we do four times a year. It's how we bring Christ to the world through the media here at Relevant Radio. We depend on your generosity. So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is a very special feast day in the church. It's May the 2nd. And of course, yesterday was the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Obviously, it was superseded by the Sunday feast. But today is the feast day of one of my favorite saints. And it's a saint that a lot of people don't know anything about in the church or outside of the church. But he was so crucial to keeping the faith alive. He's a man that God used to really keep the truth faith from being eclipsed by the greatest heresy that has ever been seen in the history of the church. And the saint in question is Saint Athanasius. He was mocked throughout his life by his enemies as being a dwarf. He was very small in stature, but he became a theological and spiritual giant. And his opponent was the greatest heretic in the history of the church, a guy named Arius. And if you've never heard of Arius, you need to know about him, because he nearly single-handedly destroyed the church. But of course, God would never allow that to happen. The Holy Spirit preserved the true teaching of Christ, but not without a lot of sweat, a lot of sleepless nights, a lot of tears. And really, we're very familiar with the Nicene Creed. This has a lot to do with the Council of Nicaea, which took place, of course, in the 4th century. And from the beginnings of the church, there were always controversies. There never was sort of a golden age where everybody agreed upon everything and everybody just kind of sat around saying kumbaya. That's the stuff of fairy tales. There were always big-time controversies in the church. And we can look at, during the Apostolic Age, the controversy about what to do with Gentile converts to the faith. For example, in the Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 15, we have the Council of Jerusalem, really the first council of the church, you could say. And that's all about this question of the Gentiles. And it threatened to tear the church apart even then. Do Gentile converts to the church? And of course, Peter and Paul really got the Gentile mission going, the greatest evangelist in the history of the church, preaching to Jews and Gentiles. But if non-Jews came into the church, and of course, most of the early members of the church were Jews. They had come to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah that had been promised throughout the ages. Now, what about the Gentiles, the non-Jews? When they come into the church, do they have to adopt all the ceremonial works of the Jewish law before they can become Catholic Christians, before they can be accepted into the church? If they're uncircumcised males, do they have to be circumcised? That's a pretty big question. If you have to undergo a surgical procedure before you come into the church, people might have second thoughts about it. So natural, you know, fear might overrule the supernatural pull of the truth. And then there are the dietary regulations of the Old Covenant, the kosher food laws. Do Gentiles have to adhere to that? And that's really what the Council of Jerusalem was all about. And then later on, by the way, our sister program, The Faith Explained, I'm talking about James, the Bishop of Jerusalem. It's called Bonding with James. It's a great new series that I'm doing this week. You're going to want to check it out. And he was heavily involved with that. He was the Bishop of Jerusalem during that whole first council. And then later on in the 3rd century, we're talking about the time when St. Cyprian was the Bishop of Carthage. The question was, what do you do with people who have completely abandoned the faith, whether by severe moral failure or maybe they've capitulated to pressure when the church was illegal, when the church was underground, when you could pay for your faith with your life? There were many people who denied Jesus Christ under pain of death. They apostatized. They went over to pagan gods under pressure of the Roman Empire. Can these people ever come back once they've denied Jesus publicly? Jesus says, hey, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father in heaven. So how do you deal with these people? Can they be forgiven? That was a big question in the church. And at the end of the day, the answer is yes, they can be forgiven. But some people weren't too happy about that. And back in those days, when the faith was illegal, these things were worked out. Of course, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised in John's gospel, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will guide you into all truth, superintending the process. Everything was kind of worked out internally, the Holy Spirit inspiring and guiding individuals. But that doesn't mean that there weren't a lot of fights before the final decisions were made. But one thing that they couldn't do for sure was appeal to the Roman emperor to say, hey, can you fix the problem for us? Can you intervene? Until Constantine converted. Of course, this is one of the epochal moments in the history of the church, the conversion of Constantine. Now, when I say the conversion, it wasn't really a total full conversion until the end, because Constantine put off baptism until the end of his life because, well, quite frankly, he was, you know, thought maybe I might commit a mortal sin or two, and I'd rather just get it washed away all at the end. Okay, it's a lot of presumption there in that attitude for sure. But he was kind of more like a catechumen than an actual Christian because he wasn't baptized till the very end. But he did legalize the faith in the Roman Empire, and so he wanted, after he came to believe in Jesus, he wanted the church to be what he called, quote, the cement of the empire, end of quote. He wanted the church to be the thing that would unite the Roman Empire, keep it from crumbling. And so what eventually happened under Constantine was that the government started to intervene in some of these church disputes that were happening. And, you know, this whole idea of the separation of church and state in the U.S., that would not really be a thing under Constantine. And I'm not saying this was a good thing, far from it, but I am saying that somehow, even through this, the Holy Spirit worked through the process in a supernatural way. And because Constantine felt obliged to intervene about a big, big problem in the church that was threatening to tear the entire church apart, God used that to help bring about the Council of Nicaea, establishing, and not really establishing, but maintaining and reinforcing the Orthodox faith of the church, which was always believed from the beginning. And what is this all about? The whole Arian heresy. For those of you that might not have known anything about this, it's a pretty wild story. And I'll tell you about how Athanasius gets involved in just a bit. But this all kind of started in Alexandria, Egypt. And that's where Athanasius comes from as well, from Alexandria in Egypt, in the eastern part of the church. And the Bishop of Alexandria, his name was Bishop Alexander. Very appropriate. Alexander, the Bishop of Alexandria. Okay. Well, he was fighting with one of his priests, and this priest was known as Arius. I guess you could say Father Arius. A-R-I-U-S is how you spell his name, in case you haven't heard of him. But he was a really popular priest. He was a very charismatic preacher. He had a lot of followers. He ran the kind of parish that people would kind of, you know, even if it wasn't their geographical parish, they'd kind of want to go to his church on Sunday to hear him preach. And so one of the things that he started to say was, at the end of the day, his heresy, his false teaching was, the heresy of Arianism is basically that he didn't believe that Jesus was God. At the end of the day, was the Word of God co-eternal with God? And so Arius began to create this motto, and this was kind of his saying. This was on his coat of arms, if you will. He would print it on, you know, bumper stickers and things like that. So his motto was basically, there was when he was not. He being, of course, the Word. There was when he was not. There was a time when he was not. So this was a novel teaching. This was something that was not the historic faith of the church up to that point. Now, Bishop Alexander, his bishop, he was very Orthodox. He held the Catholic faith. And he said, no. No, the Word, the divine Word, existed from all eternity with the Father. The Word is eternal. And Arius said, no, the Word is not co-eternal with the Father, because God had to speak the Word. That means God existed before the Word. So this was a new teaching, and what was really kind of insidious about Arius was that Arius knew the Scriptures really, really well, and he could use the Bible to try to back up his claims. He would take verses maybe out of context, cherry-pick verses here and there, and it's very easy to make the Bible say anything you want it to if you don't have the guiding teaching office of the church, the magisterium, to kind of bring you in line. And so Arius made a very persuasive, very convincing case. Again, he was really charismatic, that his teaching was the way to go. And he convinced a lot of people. So the battle lines were drawn really clearly, and a lot was at stake. Really, everything was at stake. Now, it's not deniable, by the way, and a lot of scholars have done work on this. I remember the late, great Dr. Larry Hurtado, who passed away recently. He's done a lot of work on this. The earliest Christians, all the earliest records that we have from the very beginning of the church, the early Catholics worshipped Jesus as God. This is undeniable. Even the pagans knew it, and the pagans wrote about it. They wrote about it, Christians worshiping Jesus from the beginning. This wasn't some later invention of the Catholic Church, the divinity of Christ. This goes back to the beginning. But eventually the conflict between Bishop Alexander of Alexandria and his renegade priest Arius kind of came to a head when it broke out in public. The bishop said, listen, on my authority as bishop, I'm condemning you as a heretic. I'm removing you from your parish. I'm kicking you out of your job. And you've just got to do penance and get back on track. And Arius said, heck no, I'll never do it. And things only got worse from there. So the drama will continue. I'm going to give you much, much more on this in just a few minutes. But we've got to take a really, really quick break now. Stay with me here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. I've got a word for you right now from our own Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky, Executive Director of Relevant Radio. Have you heard about our Monday-only special thank you gift? It's a blue tote bag featuring the Marian symbol for Our Lady. Blue for Our Lady. Dressed in blue. I could use one of these to take your prayer attentions to the Shrine of Our Lady to help this weekend. This tote bag is extra tall and will make a great gift for students, teachers, or volunteers. Now, you parents of little ones, this would be great for you, too, for wipes and diapers and Cheerios. And today's the only day that you can get it. The Marian Tote Bag is our thank you for your donation of $20 a month or more. Make your donation at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123. Again, it's only available today for a gift of $20 a month. Give online at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, and God bless you.
Timmeri here with Cale Clark during the Cale Clark Show. We'll get right back to programming in just a moment, but I'm here because it is our pledge drive, and we're here to partner with you to give hope, not just in your lives, but the lives of others, by continuing to do the work we do here at Relevant Radio. So if you'd like to give and support the work we do, we need people to step up this hour. You can give us a call. The number's 1-877-291-0123. You can always, the easiest way to donate is online, relevantradio.com, and we have some very special thank you gifts to give to you. You can see those gifts online when you donate. It's the easiest way to donate. We actually have extra special gifts to give you if you donate online, but today we're especially asking you for a $20 a month donation. That's $240 for the whole year, and for that, as a special thank you gift today only, we have a special blue tote, those totes that we go to the grocery store with, because we don't want to be charged 10 cents for our groceries, but this one has a Marian symbol on it, and it is full of all sorts of surprise Catholic goodies just for you.
Absolutely. And Father Rocky talked about that, of course, in that little segment that he gave. And, you know, here at Relevant Radio, we don't sell any products. We don't have any Black Friday sales, but we are in the business of giving things away. We love to give things away because the gospel itself is free of charge. Jesus said to his followers, "Freely you have received, freely give." So that's why we give away all these free things, because you guys have been so generous to us. So we don't sell product. We only stay on the air because of good people like you who want to donate to the mission, who say, this is the kind of radio I want to hear. I want this kind of media in my life and in the lives of my friends and of my family. So if you come in at the $20 a month donation level, we're going to send you this beautiful Marian bag. And it's really nice. It looks really, really nice. And we don't know what's in it. Our faith is a mystery, right? And by mystery, we don't mean, you know, whodunit. It's not like an Agatha Christie novel or something like that. It's a truth that's so deep, we'll never get to the bottom of it. Well, in the bottom of this little bag, there's going to be a mystery gift inside just for you. It could be a book. It could be a rosary. It could be some Relevant Radio swag. It's a swag bag, maybe. So you're just going to have to find out. And the only way you'll know is if you come in, partner with us for $20 a month. And by the way, this is a partnership challenge. Whatever amount you come in at, it's going to be matched 100% by generous donors just like you. So once again, call that number. Do it now. Go to the Relevant Radio app, relevantradio.com. Or call Timory. What's the number?
1-877-291-0123.
Hey, welcome back to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Producer Jim is blasting some metal. Well, we got a pretty metal saint that we're dealing with today. He is pretty hardcore. We're talking about Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. A lot of people don't know who this guy is. He almost single-handedly saved the church. God used him. The church was on the razor's edge of being completely destroyed because of this, the arch-heretic himself, Arius, this renegade priest. I've been telling you about him. If you missed the first session of the program, if you're just tuning in right now, you can always check the podcast later to find out the backstory. But the bottom line is Arius was basically saying that Jesus was not God. And the official church had a problem with this. So his bishop, Alexander of Alexandria, said, "You're out, Arius." But Arius didn't take that sitting down. In fact, what he did was he got a bunch of his friends who were bishops. Now, Arius himself wasn't a bishop. He was a priest. But he knew a lot of bishops, guys he went to school with. He'd call them up and say, "Hey, you guys know me. You know what I'm all about. You know that I'm right about this." And he convinced them to kind of go with him in his heretical ways. And he was really popular, super popular preacher, super popular priest. And once word got out that he got kicked out of his parish, got kicked out of his job, well, the people took up arms, essentially, and there wasn't a riot or anything like that, but there were demonstrations, let's put it that way. There were demonstrations in the streets. So people would march on the streets, and they would chant Arius's favorite slogan, "There was when he was not, there was when he was not, there was when he was not." There'd be banners. So "there was when he was not" was basically Arius's little saying, his motto. He was basically saying there was a time when he, the Word, was not. He was trying to say that Jesus wasn't eternal. Jesus isn't God. And this is obviously long before the incarnation of Jesus of Nazareth, but you get the point. And so this became a thing. It became a movement. And soon a word began to spread about Arius, his teachings. And a lot of people bought into this, and it really threatened to divide the church. So Constantine, Emperor Constantine, who's recently accepted Jesus, hasn't become baptized yet, so he's not really technically a Catholic Christian, but he is a catechumen, as it were. But he's now a believer in Jesus. He wants the church to unite the empire, and so he's got a buddy. Emperor Constantine has a buddy named Hosius of Cordova, and because really, Constantine didn't know that much about the faith. He didn't grow up as a Christian. he had to get the inside scoop from people in the know. So he got to be really good friends with this bishop named Hosius of Cordova. He was a pretty famous guy in the early church. And so Constantine says, hey, Bishop Hosius, can you try to figure out what's going on with these two? Can you try to get Arius to reconcile with his bishop, Bishop Alexander, and maybe put an end to this division? And Hosius went to check things out. He looked around, he asked around, and he had some bad news to report back to Emperor Constantine. He said, you know what? I can't fix this. The division is too deep. This is becoming a thing. You need to do something about it. So Constantine did something that he'd been thinking about for some time, and he finally put the plan into action. He himself convened an ecumenical council. It's the first time ever that a political ruler did something like this. But he got all the bishops of the world together in the first universal great council of the church, the Council of Nicaea. It was 325 AD when this happened. And we know this very well because this is where the Nicene Creed comes out of, right? The Council of Nicaea. And nobody really knows exactly how many bishops from around the world were there. Some people say there were 318 bishops there, but most people doubt that because that number is actually, that comes from the book of Genesis. There were, in the time of Abraham, there were allegedly 318 people who were circumcised at Abraham's time. So some people say that's where they're getting this number from, but they're kind of making stuff up. But I think it's fair to say that there were probably around 300 bishops from all around the world, some of them from the western part of the church, some of them from the east. But don't forget, when the Council of Nicaea happened, we are not that far removed from the great persecutions of the church, when it was still illegal. It's incredible how much things had changed. Not too long before this, a lot of the bishops, a lot of the people who were at the council had been in prison. They had been tortured. They bore on their body the marks of Jesus, as St. Paul says in one of his letters. He says, hey, don't give me any trouble, because I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I've been tortured for my faith. And these bishops could identify with that. Some of them were missing their eyeballs. Some of them might have had their hand chopped off. And they had really paid a price for their belief. And they were not going to stand by idly while this knucklehead Arius was trying to say that Jesus wasn't God. There's no way they were going to let that happen. So a fight was brewing, to be sure. And actual physical fist fights broke out at the Council of Nicaea. There's a famous anecdote that the real St. Nicholas actually knocked out Arius at the council. That may be an apocryphal story, and I'm pretty sure it may be, but it was like a WWE Royal Rumble. I mean, there were chairs flying, people jumping off the top rope. This was an all-out theological and sometimes even physical brawl. This was written about by church historians of the time, like Eusebius of Caesarea, all kinds of people from all over the world. But it was quite a sight to see Greek-speaking bishops, Latin bishops from the West, all the church united together symbolically in this council. And obviously, what are they going to do about Arius? Well, Arius himself wasn't even allowed to speak at the council because he wasn't a bishop. He was only a priest. So he had to have a mouthpiece. And that mouthpiece was a guy named Bishop Eusebius of Nicomedia. And he was a convinced Arian. He believed in what Arius was teaching. And he tried to convince his brother bishops that Jesus was not really God. I'm going to tell you how that all went. It didn't go over too well. Let me just give you a sneak preview. I'm going to tell you how that all went right after this little break. So hang with me. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's the Feast of St. Athanasius of Alexandria, Egypt. Be right back.
Timmy here with Cale Clark, and we've had 51 people step up this hour.
Wow.
Who are next? And if you've given to us, thank you so much. In fact, Cale, we had Anonymous in Heartland, Wisconsin, who just gave $1,000
oh
now
my.
During the Cale Clark Show.
God bless
so
you.
So thank you.
That becomes $2,000 because this is a partnership challenge hour only for this hour. Any amount that you donate to Relevant Radio will be matched 100% by generous donors like you, anonymous donors who want us to keep going, who want us to keep bringing Christ to the world through the media. So if you want to get in on this as well, you can give at relevantradio.com, and you can also do it through the app. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. It's digitally locked down. Don't worry about that. And you can also call. If you want to go the old-fashioned way, we have friendly operators standing by, 877-291-0123. Wow, Timmy, that's amazing news. We might actually be on track to set a record for this hour.
Setting a record for this hour. That's right. We're working our way to continue to raise $3 million this hour. And if you've not already donated, the time is of the essence. As Kale, you said, if you donate now, that money is matched and doubled. $1,000 becomes $2,000. $50 becomes $100. So if you can donate, the number is 1-877-291-0123. RelevantRadio.com truly is the easiest way to give. And you can actually see the thank you gifts we have to give you there. And we have our mystery bag. It's a Mother Mary tote, and you will be surprised. I don't know what's in the tote. You will find out when you receive it. You'll receive that special gift today if you give just $20 a month. So this is your opportunity to give. And Kale, by the way, the Walk to Mary is coming up, and anyone who gives during today's hour, in fact, Father Rocky has said he will take your prayer intentions that you send to us, and those prayer intentions will go with him on a 21-mile pilgrimage walk to the only approved Marian apparition site in the United States. So please donate and share your petitions with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Father Rocky's going to carry all. We want him to have a really heavy backpack. It'd be a good workout for him. They're going to be, his backpack is going to be filled with your prayer requests. So whenever you donate, we're going to ask for your prayer intention, and Father Rocky will take them with him on the walk to Mary. He'll pray for you. He'll offer it up for you, all those blisters. Don't want to miss out on this great spiritual opportunity. So why not give right now? RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or 877-291-0123. Give hope today. Your donation is matched 100% this hour.
Listener supported.
Yeah. Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
This is the Relevant Radio Spring Pledge Drive. Give hope.
Hey, welcome back to the Kale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We got some interesting music bumpers during the pledge drive, but that's part of the game. It's part of the deal. And we're talking about the saint of the day, and that is Saint Athanasius of Alexandria. This is a really cool dude. You're going to want to get to know him a little bit. So he was really a champion of the Orthodox Catholic faith. And when I say Orthodox, you know, I don't mean the Orthodox churches of the East, okay? So orthodoxy means right teaching, orthodoxy, doxa, right? And so orthodoxy means right teaching, but we also need orthopraxis, the right practice of the Catholic faith. And we also need something else. We need to have the right heart. Orthocardia, right? Like a cardiologist. So orthodoxy, orthocardia, and orthopraxis, head, heart, and hands. They've got to all be working together to have the full package, the full meal deal in the Catholic Church. So at the Council of Nicaea, Arius, the worst heretic in the history of the church, this guy is a piece of work. He was a priest. He wasn't a bishop, so he wasn't allowed to talk at the council and spout forth his vile heresy that Jesus wasn't God. So he needed somebody to do it for him, and that person was his buddy, Bishop Eusebius of Nicomedia. And so, now, by the way, not to be confused with another Eusebius, Eusebius of Caesarea, who is an early church historian. So Eusebius of Nicomedia gave this big speech, and he was so sure that he would convince all of his fellow bishops that the Arius that he knew was the right dude and that his teaching was correct. He was absolutely shocked at what happened after he gave his speech. This idea that the word was not divine, that the word was somehow a creature, even if it's the first and greatest creature, that did not go over well. A lot of the bishops started screaming at this guy, "You lie, blasphemer, heretic. He was shouted down. And in fact, one of the other bishops took his speech out of his hand, tore it up to shreds. Remember that time Nancy Pelosi tore the speech of President Trump to shreds? It was kind of like that, I guess. And they trampled his speech underfoot. And Eusebius was shocked. He thought he was going to be able to convince everybody. Not true. So, by the way, there was another guy at the council. Arius himself couldn't talk because he wasn't a bishop. He was only a priest. There was another guy at the Council of Nicaea who also wasn't allowed to say anything because he was a young man. At the time, he was only a deacon, so he couldn't sit in the council either. But he eventually became famous as the one guy, more than anybody else in the world, who kept the teaching of the Nicene Council, the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed, which came out of the Council of Nicaea, that kept that going and kept the church from caving in. His name was Athanasius of Alexandria. So our saint of the day, that's where he was. He was kind of in the background. He wasn't, but he was there. He was there. Well, the good news for now is that the council rejected Arius and his heresy. And that's why when you read the Nicene Creed, that's why it spends so much time, if you've ever wondered, it spends so much time talking about the divinity of Christ. And when the Creed says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, that is, from the substance of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through whom all things were made. Okay, so you get the point. So why does the Creed spend so much time on this? It's because that was being denied, that Jesus was of the same substance as the Father, that he was true God from true God. So the council set it straight. And to this day, the Nicene Creed is the number one creed in the world. Now, of course, there's the Apostles' Creed as well, but the Apostles' Creed really came from the church in Rome, and so it tended to be favored more in the West. So in the Western part of the Catholic Church, and even when the Protestant Revolution happened and churches broke off from Rome and became Protestant communities, they kept the Apostles' Creed. But the Nicene Creed really got going not only in the West, but also in the East. So when the Orthodox churches of the East broke away from the Catholic Church, they kept the Nicene Creed. So that's the bottom line. The council rejected this idea that the Word, the Logos, was a creature or somehow less than the Father. So that's why God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. And of course, the key term in Greek is homoousios, which means consubstantial or of one substance as the Father. So you might have heard the expression, there's not one iota of difference. And so, because some people wanted a change to be made, of course, and that change was to change it to homoiousios. And that I, the iota, the ninth letter of the Greek alphabet, which also means a little bit, kind of had the effect of saying, oh, no, it's of similar, he is of similar substance to the Father, but not quite of the same substance, not divine. So when people say there's not any iota of difference, when it comes to this, they couldn't be more wrong. That one little letter means everything. And so the correct term is homoousios, of the same substance. So there you go. Well, it seemed like the victory had been won, but things weren't over because this heresy was really stubborn, the heresy of Arius, Arianism, this idea that Jesus isn't God. Well, it didn't die after the council, unfortunately. And this guy, Eusebius of Nicomedia, who was the mouthpiece of Arius at the council, he was a really, really good politician. He was a smooth operator. And to top it all off, he happened to be related to the Emperor Constantine. So his strategy was, okay, all right, maybe I lost the battle, but I'm going to win the war. Council of Nicaea kind of, came out with this creed. It seems like Arianism is dead, but guess what? I'm kind of related to Constantine. So he starts hanging out at the palace. And the emperor used to hang out in Nicomedia, oddly enough. That was his summer residence, the same town where Eusebius of Nicomedia was the bishop. So He would invite himself over. You know, let's have some drinks on the patio. Let's have a chat. And so he starts working on Constantine. Eventually, Constantine starts saying, you know what? Maybe I've been too hard on the Arians. You know, maybe they're not such bad dudes after all. And so Arius, who had been exiled, Constantine calls him out of exile. So, you know, we really should put this guy back in the rotation. Let's give him back. Let's put him, give him a parish. Let's restore him to communion. And Constantine, the emperor, told the Bishop of Constantinople, you need to bring Arius back into the fold and set him up, you know, with shop and everything. And the bishop was like, I don't think I can do that in good conscience. This guy is a heretic. So he was internally debating, should I obey the emperor or obey my conscience? Well, while he was thinking about this, good fortune, Arius himself kicked the bucket. He died. And so that was it. Alexander, remember Alexander of Alexandria, the bishop who was the original opponent of Arius? Well, he died also in 328. And who takes over for him as the bishop of Alexandria? Athanasius, who was a young deacon at the Council of Nicaea. And now he becomes the guy who's going to take up the torch. He becomes the champion of the true faith. And so the rest of everything that happens, all the battles that happen afterwards, they're all centered on the life of Athanasius because he became the guy to fight against this false teaching. But it became quite crazy to the point where St. Jerome once said, everything seemed fine after the Council of Nicaea, but one day the entire world woke up from a deep slumber and discovered that it had become Arian. So slowly but surely, the Arian heresy kept working its way through the church. And some people even say that at one point, 90% of all the bishops in the church became Arians, became heretics. Can you imagine? Now, I don't know if the number was that high, but it was definitely over 50% at one point. Imagine that. Over half of the bishops of the church founded by Jesus Christ officially embraced a heresy that said Jesus wasn't God. And things were pretty bad. Things were looking pretty bad because eventually another guy became the emperor, Julian the Apostate. And from his name, you can kind of piece together what he might have been all about. He wanted to return the Roman Empire to total paganism. So this was the situation with the life of Athanasius that he found himself thrust into. Well, one of the things, Athanasius had a lot of enemies, and he was kind of a short guy. In fact, his enemies used to mock him. They used to call him the dwarf, but he became a theological giant, a spiritual giant. Now, nobody really knows when he was born or where he was born for that matter, but in all likelihood, Athanasius probably came from a small town on the shore of the Nile. He spoke Coptic, which was, of course, the language spoken in Egypt. And he never claimed to be somebody who was of noble birth or anything like that. But when he was young, he got to know some of the monks of the desert, some of the great holy men who lived in the desert. St. Jerome actually said that he once gave a jacket to Paul the Hermit. Paul the Hermit was a famous monk in the early church. And Athanasius got to know St. Anthony of the Desert, who is a crucial, crucial figure in the church. He wrote a biography of him, actually. And he met Anthony of the Desert, St. Anthony, and he actually not only was able to meet him, he washed his hands. He washed Anthony's hands, St. Anthony's hands. That was an incredible honor for Athanasius. And so he kept hanging out with monks in the desert, and they kept teaching him, and he learned a lot from them. He learned discipline from them. And one of the great things about Athanasius that enabled him to defeat all of his opponents was the fact that he was austere. He never gave in to temptations of popularity, prestige, wealth, which trapped so many of his brother bishops and led them to compromise with the world and compromise with falsehood. He never gave in to that. And part of it was because of the discipline of the monastic discipline that he picked up from hanging out with people like St. Anthony of the Desert. He was just invincible to all his enemies. Well, we're going to talk about what happened to him in the end after this really, really quick break. Here is a miracle moment right here on Relevant Radio. Stay with me.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
Hi, I just wanted to call in Thanksgiving. My name is Susan, and I had met Daphne at an abortion facility, and I called in that they pray for her for the Rosary Across America. She just texted that she's 17 weeks pregnant and she's keeping her baby, and she said thank you. So I just want to thank Jesus and all of you that prayed for Daphne. Thank you so much.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Make a tax-deductible donation now to support our mission at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
I am humbled by so many of you who are stepping up and saying, we want to give hope in a culture that is hungry and starving for truth and hope. Relevant Radio is helping do that, so we are asking you to partner with us. We need $3 million this week to continue to operate here at Relevant Radio. If you'd like to give, the number's 1-877-291-0123. Norm in Naples, Florida just gave for the first time to Relevant Radio, and Lucy in Bethsaida, Maryland just gave $100 to Relevant Radio, a new donor as well. We are so thankful for your generosity. Robert in Lockhart, Texas, thank you for being a part of the Relevant Radio family.
Yeah, it's so incredible. And you can donate right now. Your donation is matched 100% during this hour. It's a partnership challenge. We have partners standing by. And even if it's a large gift, maybe you've been blessed in a special way this year. Maybe you run a business. Maybe it's been very successful. And you know that it's not because of your own genius, or it's because God has given you the grace to do it. And you want to honor him. And some people might be able to give a larger gift, like $5,000. That becomes $10,000. Or 100,000 becomes 200,000. I don't know, but it's not a sacrifice unless it hurts a little bit, right? So what you can do right now is go to relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. And really what matters is not so much the size of the gift, but it is the sacrificial giving. And so for some people, that $20 a month gift might be a big, big sacrifice. And God will honor that. God understands that. He knows where you're at. And even if you can't afford to give, that's okay. The best thing that you can do is to pray for us and pray that God moves the hearts of others who have the means. It's really, really important to do that so that we can reach our goal and stay on the air. And don't forget, if you come in at that $20 a month level, you get the incredible, really fun mystery Marian tote bag, Timory.
That Marian tote bag, like you said, is a mystery. You can take it shopping. And gentlemen, this is the merch for you when you go to the grocery store. Because let's be real, I know in California and some other states, if you don't have your totes and your grocery bags, you're paying. But not only will you receive here, you'll also receive mystery gifts inside this tote, because it wouldn't be a real tote or a merch if you didn't get something with it. So number's 1-877-291-0123. We're asking you to give hope by supporting us here at Relevant Radio. No donation is too large. No donation is too small. Easiest way to give is relevantradio.com, and you can see the thank you gifts we have to give you right there as well.
Hey, welcome back to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's the feast day of St. Athanasius. I wish I had another hour to go through the remarkable life of this saint, but he almost single-handedly saved the church from falling into the depths of the clutches of the Arian heresy. Even though the Council of Nicaea refuted it, over half of the bishops of the church around the world came to believe this false teaching that Jesus was not divine. And Athanasius was the champion of orthodoxy through a lot of different trials that he went through. But again, his monastic discipline, his austerity really helped him. And so it's really important for us to be disciplined in the Catholic life so we can meet the challenges that come to us. And one of the great things about Athanasius, too, is that he had an incredible sense of humor. And our old pal Eusebius of Nicomedia, this evil bishop who was an Arian leader, he knew that the guy to take out was Athanasius. If they could get rid of him, things were looking pretty good for them. So they started to do all kinds of things, plant all kinds of evil rumors to try to assure his downfall. They put out a rumor that he dabbled in magic, the dark arts of magic. They tried to say that he was an insufferable tyrant over his flock in Alexandria, Egypt. And as a result, believe it or not, the emperor actually ordered Athanasius to appear before a synod that was gathered at Tyre, one of the biblical cities that's mentioned. And remember Tyre and Sidon? Anyway, so there's a synod at Tyre, and Athanasius was summoned to give answer to some grave charges that were brought against him. In particular, he was accused of having murdered a guy named Arsenius. Not Arsenio Hall, if you remember his old talk show. Arsenius. Who was Arsenius? Well, Arsenius was kind of a rival bishop. So what they tried to say was, hey, isn't it true, Athanasius, that not only did you kill this guy, Arsenius, but you actually cut off his hand so that you could use it in these dark magic rituals that you're performing? So, well, how's he going to respond to this? So Athanasius is brought before the trial. And what he did was he listened to all the charges that were brought against him. And then he brings this guy. I've got an exhibit A to bring into this room. So he brings a guy into the room, and this guy's covered in a cloak. He's got a hood over his head. And what does he do? He very dramatically uncovers the guy's face. And who is it? It's none other than Arsenius, the guy who Athanasius allegedly killed. Well, here he is, alive and well. But then, hey, hold on here. Well, maybe you didn't kill him, but you did cut off his hand, right, to use it for some magic rituals. Well, then Athanasius uncovers one of his hands. There it is. There's his hand. It's still attached. No. It's the other hand. It's got to be the other hand. He uncovers his other hand. There's hand number two, also still attached. And then Athanasius said, hey, what kind of a monster do you think this guy is? A guy with three hands? And then they all start laughing. It was so funny. And they eventually let him go. So despite everything that they tried to do, they could not get rid of this guy. There are all kinds of riots, all kinds of political figures who tried to have Athanasius arrested. He went into exile many, many times. And this is probably my favorite story of all about Athanasius. One time, when he was on the run, he was trying to hide in the desert. Well, the authorities of the empire were trying to get him. They're trying to arrest him. And at the time, Athanasius was on a boat on the Nile River, and he was standing at the front of the boat, and, you know, the boat's kind of moving along. And then this government ship comes up alongside, you know, from the empire, and they're trying to get faster and faster and faster. And they're about to get to pass Athanasius. He's standing at the front of the boat, and he sees out of the corner of his eye these guys coming up on the side, and these soldiers on the boat yell, and he's kind of got his hoodie on and stuff. They kind of yell at him, and they say, hey, have you seen Athanasius? Have you seen this guy? And Athanasius says back to them, yes, I have seen him. And in fact, he is just ahead of you, and if you hurry, you will soon overtake him. And the guys on the boat say, thank you very much, sir. Really appreciate that. And then they pass him by and they keep going. So, hey, he was telling the truth. I have seen him. I looked at him in the mirror today. He's the guy staring. It's me. And if you hurry, you will overtake him momentarily. So I had to laugh. That was pretty funny. So he gets away. And eventually, he does die in the year A.D. 373 A.D. He didn't live to see the Arian heresy completely defeated, but through his writings and all the work and prayer that he did, eventually it was defeated. And modern Catholics need to know about this. We owe him a great debt of gratitude. Saint Athanasius, pray for us.
Wow, 103 people have stepped up this hour. Deborah, Jim, Carol, Rosemary, thank you for giving hope at a time when people so desperately need it. We need $3 million to continue to operate here at Relevant Radio to bring Christ through the radio, through the media, to those who need to hear about him. People of faith, people who don't know God, they stumble across us on the radio, and Cale, they love the Cale Clark Show. And this is obvious. 100 people across the nation have stepped up. So we're asking you to give generously, whatever you can. That might be your widow's mite. That might be $10,000 right now. Number's 1-877-291-0123. RelevantRadio.com is the easiest way to give. And Cale, you know, you're talking about St. Athanasius today, and he's a saint from many centuries ago. And other than places such as Relevant Radio, people would never know the incredible stories of this man who helped change the course of Catholicism for many individuals, to shape Catholicism, to keep it true to the church's teaching. And these stories are so inspiring. These are the stories we need to hear over so many of the influencer stories that pull us in conflicting positions when it comes to our faith today.
Yeah, it's so true, Timmy. And the greatest influencers of all aren't on social media. They're in heaven. They're the saints. They're interceding for you and me right now and everybody listening. And this is the kind of stuff, like you said, Timmy, that really you can only get here on Relevant Radio. Where else are you going to find this stuff? It's like Nescafe. Where else? You know. But I'm not George Clooney. I am Cale, and I'm so humbled by your support. I think, Timmy, this is a record for this day in the pledge drive to have over 100 people call in to give a donation to support. So it's really your vote of confidence for these shows, whether it's this show or whether it's Trending with Timmy, which is coming up next, or any of the programs that we have here on Relevant Radio. This is kind of you saying, hey, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to show my support, because really this is the only way that we can stay on the air. We operate over 200 radio stations all across the United States. That's not cheap. I mean, these are big physical plants that we need to keep going. And we need your support to do that. We also have, of course, our web products, our app. We put so much resource into this. We want to make them even better. We want to reach even more and more people for Christ. So why not go to relevantradio.com? Speaking of the app, you can also give securely on the app and call 877-291-0123. And Timmy, also, you know, of course, May. We're now into May. It's hard to believe, but it's been so chilly, it doesn't feel like it. But it is, of course, the month that the church, it's one of the months the church dedicates, you know, specifically to Mary, May, the month of Mary. So maybe what we could do is make our gifts even in honor of Mother Mary, or even in honor of our own moms, if our own mom has passed away, or if she's still alive. You can give a gift in her name. Mother's Day is coming up next week. That's also a great way to do it too, right?
Oh, Mother's Day is the perfect opportunity. And some moms, maybe your mom is a person who really doesn't want to receive a gift, but she loves her Catholic faith. That's a great opportunity. Or to make that donation in honor of Our Lady and thanksgiving for how she's interceded, maybe with a particular petition in your life. And so many people are thankful. That's why you step up and say, yes, we want to give to Relevant Radio. And we're actually about to break a record during the Cale Clark Show. We need 15 people to step up in the next 2 minutes, and we will bring the most number of donations in this hour. So we need 15 people. The easiest way to give is online, relevantradio.com. Quick jump on, see the thank you gifts, process your donation. Number's 1-877-291-0123 if you like to give that way as well.
And don't forget that if you come in at the $20 a month level, that's going to be not only matched, because any gift, any size is matched 100% during our partnership challenge over the next minute or two, but also we're going to send you this very special thank you gift, this beautiful, and as Timmy pointed out, hey, this is for the guys too. It's a manly thing to love Our Lady.
It's a merce, right?
it's a beautiful, and you got to see this. You can see an image of it if you go on the Relevant Radio website or the app. It's a beautiful Marian tote bag with a mystery gift just for you inside. It's a surprise. The only way you can figure out what it is, see if you come in at $20 a month or more, go to relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call 1-877-291-0123. Thank you for your support. God bless you all. We really appreciate it here as you help us give hope here at Relevant Radio.